they happen today, do they? I mean, Jesus, you know, he performed some amazing things, so many miracles. But after all, he was the Son of God, the Messiah. You know, can we experience miracles today? Can God use you, me, to do the miraculous? You know, in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus had some words for us. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Did you catch that? Even greater things. Greater things. Church, can we believe in greater things? Can we believe that God wants to do the miraculous? Can we believe that God wants to use us to do greater things so that God the Father may be glorified in the Son? I mean, do you want to see a miracle? Do you want to see a miracle that you can touch with your hands, see with your eyes, you know, watch it unfold around you? Do you want to see God do the miraculous? To see God do something that you could never imagine on your own? To see God do greater things. We're going to unpack this miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And our scripture comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. It's the feeding of the 5,000. No, and this was a miracle of such importance that it was recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, a huge crowd had been following Jesus for several days. They were listening to his teaching. They were witnessing his miracles. You know, at this point in the scripture, you know, the disciples had just finished a ministry tour. They had been going and going, preaching the word. Miracles were happening. And our scripture comes right after their good friend, John the Baptist, was beheaded. I'm sure they were physically, spiritually, and emotionally drained. And they needed some time to recharge. You know, they're looking forward to this vacation. Finally, they're going to get some me time. Just hang with Jesus. And they're trying to find a place to relax. So they hopped in a boat and they crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee. You know, Jesus took his disciples to the top of the hill to rest. And of course, the people kept coming. You know, they wanted more of Jesus. And with that in mind, let's read our scripture for today. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. It says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. 'You know, this is a remote place,' they said, 'and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'Well, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?' 'How many loaves do you have?' he asked. 'Go and see.' When they found out, they said, 'Five and two fish.' And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Father, your word given to us, Thank you that your word is living and active. Your word changes us. It challenges us. It transforms us. Spirit of truth, reveal your truth to us today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are. You know, we have this massive crowd following Jesus because they want more of his teachings. They want more of his miracles. And Jesus and his disciples, you know, they hop in a boat and they want to find a quiet place to rest. But the people, they weren't giving up that easily. And they were able to figure out, you know, where the boat was going, and they ran ahead to meet him on the other side. They just wanted to be around Jesus. They just wanted to listen to him, to hear him talk. You know, something inside their hearts was desperate for Jesus. They couldn't get enough of him. And as the day progressed, it's getting late, and the situation was starting to get a little complicated. For the disciples, this was supposed to be a restful evening with Jesus. And verses 35 through 36, we see the problem. It's late, it's a remote place, and people are getting hungry. You know, the disciples are hungry, the people around are getting hungry, everyone is hungry. I don't know about you, but when I'm hungry, that can be a little bit of a problem. You know, thousands of people getting hangry. You know, you heard it, hungry and angry, hangry. And I'm sure people were getting a little snippy. You know, I'm not sure that's a crowd that I want to be in. And I'm sure the disciples were sensing the urgency of the moment too. Maybe even they're a little upset. I mean, they wanted to find some rest. And now they have to do event planning for thousands of people. I mean, where can we find enough food to feed this enormous crowd? Because they won't simply leave us alone. I mean, what do you do when you have a problem? It's time to problem solve. In verse 36, we see that the disciples, they had a plan for the people. It was easy. You know, Jesus, just do this. Send them away. No people, no problem. I mean, that sounds realistic. You know, just send them away. Let's get rid of the people so then we don't have to deal with this big mess before us. I mean, it seems logical. After all, there was no way to feed everyone. And Jesus knew that they were hungry. I mean, thousands of people that are hangry. You know, I think that's pretty obvious. And Jesus also knew that if they did leave, that they would faint along the way if they didn't eat. And Jesus cared for these people. You know, Jesus, having compassion on the crowd, he recognized the needs of the crowd. Jesus saw the need. However, the disciples weren't sure how this problem was going to be solved. I mean, it's one thing to recognize a need, and it's a greater challenge to do something about it. In verse 37, Jesus says something a little confusing. He said, "You give them something to eat." At the moment, I'm sure they were all, you know, shocked, looking around like, "Jesus, are you serious? Or are you joking? Because neither of us know, and we can't tell." I'm sure they're all looking around, perplexed, confused, maybe a little upset. I mean, they did some quick math, ran some numbers, and the verdict was a half a year's wages to feed everyone. I mean, how do we come up with that money? Do we do an offering? But that still doesn't help, you know, finding the food and getting it here to feed everyone. I mean, where can we buy enough bread to feed all these people? I'm sure they thought, yeah, great idea, Jesus. Sending everyone away still seems like the best option here. In verse 38, Jesus helps them out. He says, "How many loaves do you have? How much do you have? What are we working with? Go and see." So they go out and look. They go out and they find something. It's like, "What do we got, boys? We got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Again, I'm sure the disciples were like, you know, "Are you joking, Jesus? You know, we're going to feed all these people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I know if I was there, I'd probably be panicking. You know, that's a lot of food to feed. You need a lot of food to feed that sort of crowd, especially when it's unplanned. I mean, for anyone to feed a crowd of thousands with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, it like just doesn't make sense. Impossible. And remember, they're all hangry. That sounds like the start of a riot. I'm not sure if I would want to deal with that problem. I'm no event planner, but this doesn't seem like it's going to work out. Jesus takes the lead, as he does, and he tells everyone to sit. And I still think the disciples were a little confused, you know, not sure what's going to happen next, but they go along with this. I mean, they're respectful to Jesus. Then they watch as Jesus, he takes the bread, and he looks up to heaven. And he gives thanks to God. And Jesus breaks the loaves. And then he has the disciples distribute the food. One after the other, after the other. And they go, and they go, and they distribute it. And here we have the miracle. We read in verses 42 to 43 that they fed the whole crowd. There was enough for everyone to eat. Everyone ate until they were full. And not only were the people fed, they were satisfied. And the disciples gathered all the food so nothing would be wasted. And they were able to put together 12 baskets of leftovers. I mean, so what can we learn from this? I mean, for me, it's simple that we do serve a God who does the miraculous. That a little becomes a lot in the hands of Jesus. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Immeasurably more. God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And seeing miracle after miracle, it's obvious that God was at work doing immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And he invites us into that, invites us into greater things, church. We need to learn to listen, to trust, obey, and see Jesus do the miraculous as it happens around us. Now, let's remember that there were frustrations. There were possibly doubts and uncertainties of how they were going to feed the whole crowd. I mean, they came up with their own plan, their own solution to the problem. Remember, no people, no problem. But they still put their trust in Jesus, and they continued to listen to him. They went and collected the loaves and fish. This was what they had. Jesus asked, "How much do you have?" And they said, "You know, this is it, Jesus. This is all I have. Can you do something with this?" Now let's take a very important sidebar here. Some of us are yet to trust Jesus. Trust that he knows what's best. Some of you have yet to trust Jesus with your life. You're holding on to your own way of thinking. You have your plan, and you're not sure if you're ready or willing to give that up, to follow Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." And Jesus declares that he will sustain us. "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Forever. Jesus is saying, "Feed on me. Let me fill you up spiritually. I know you're hungry. I know you're hangry. And I will sustain you. I know that you are searching. I am here for you." That hangriness that you feel inside, Jesus is saying, "I can help. I can help that. You will never go hungry again." Jesus is asking you, he's asking all of us, to surrender to him, to trust that he knows what's best. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can experience freedom. You can experience forgiveness from the mistakes that you've made, and you can have the free gift of eternal life. If you need to surrender your life to Jesus, to trust him today, maybe even for the first time, friend, please, there is no better way. There is no better way to have your soul craving satisfied than to trust and follow Jesus. So let's declare that together. Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I will follow you. Jesus, I will try to trust you. Jesus, I will trust you. And if you're joining us on the chat, let's declare that together as a church. Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I will follow you. Jesus, I trust you. I trust you. The disciples trusted Jesus. You know, even if there was a little uncertainty, they were desperate for Jesus to do something. They needed him to do something. I mean, it was an exercise of trust and obedience to grab the loaves and fish and to start handing it out. They listened to Jesus' request. They followed through. They trusted and obeyed. They trusted and they obeyed. And the disciples recognized the need, and they were used by Jesus to meet that need. It's important to remember that the disciples could have done it their own way. Remember, they had a plan with their own efforts or own planning, or they could choose to be a part of what Jesus was doing. Great for us, they chose Jesus. And they were used by Jesus in doing the miraculous and meeting the need of feeding this massive crowd. I'm sure there's some of us today that Jesus has asked something of us. And maybe we're still caught up in the planning mode, figuring everything out, trying to come up with ideas. And Jesus is simply asking, what's in your hands? What do you have? What do you have? The funny thing is, he already knows what's in our hands. He already knows what we have. But I think he's waiting for us to be honest with our answers. You know, this is what I have, Jesus. Can you use it? What does he say? Absolutely. Yes, I can. And if you follow Jesus and you're a disciple, I mean, let's be honest. I think it's time for us to start handing out food. Jesus is calling us to use what's in our hands, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our world. I love what Andy Stanley recently said. He said, the church looks more like Christ when we are giving away rather than demanding our way. Again, I'm speaking right now to those of us who call ourselves disciples of Jesus. Are we sitting, maybe waiting for someone to come bring us some bread and fish? Are we getting up and helping distribute the food to those around us? Are we giving rather than getting? Are we contributing rather than consuming? Jesus is inviting us to partner with him to do the miraculous, to do even greater things. This is what I have, Jesus. Can you use it? We must simply look at what is in our hands and trust and obey that he will. He will use our gifts, our callings, our passions to help and serve others. And we will and we can watch God do amazing things all around us. The world is hurting. The world is broken. The world needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. And we represent Jesus to those around us. And here at FAC, we are at a church that is on mission, all for Jesus. Will you join us? We need your help because we have a lot of mouths to feed. So we come to Jesus as we are. We go to him with what we have, and we watch him do wonders all around us. Now, we're going to take a moment here, and we're going to talk to someone who was ready and willing to be used by him. Hello, Brianna.
Hey, Corey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So Brianna is our Share Ministries pastor here at FAC. Now, for those who maybe this is their first time tuning in or that you haven't met them, could you explain a little bit of what Share Ministries pastor means here at FAC?
Yeah, so Share Ministries here at FAC has four main areas. So our community engagement, our intercultural ministries, our refugee sponsorship, and our global engagement, so working with our international workers. So I have the pleasure of overseeing all of those areas, but then also working to build bridges with FAC and our community here in Calgary.
So how did you end up as a Share Ministries pastor?
This could be a long story, so I'll keep it short. But I've known since I was little that I was wired to serve others. I've just always had so much joy serving people and helping people who are vulnerable and broken. I've loved cultures my whole life and always desired to see cultures respected with dignity and valued for their culture. And so I just always felt a lot of joy whenever I'd be serving or learning about those different areas. But I actually thought I would never be working in a church. In fact, I actively thought I would be working more in the social sector. And God had other plans, and he took my husband and I here to Calgary. And through a series of events, God opened doors for me to serve here at FAC and to learn about the ministries and opportunities that we had to serve the world around us. And as time went on, God just really gave me a burden, and I kept clearly hearing God say, I'm calling you to mobilize the church. And at first, I surrendered and said, okay. And I didn't know still if it would be here in Calgary or if he'd call me somewhere else. But he just kept refining my call as I surrendered, and it led me to take the role here as the Share Ministries pastor.
Well, today we were talking about, you know, Jesus feeding the 5,000. And when I started thinking about it, I found that we actually had a little bit of a modern day miracle happening right before us. And I'm grateful that we, you know, highlighted some of the volunteers that helped make this possible. It's been happening, you know, all summer. Could you give us a little bit of backstory into how the lunch program began?
Yeah, so the lunch program started through a series of different things happening. So we had a volunteer from FAC named Heidi who ran our breakfast program in a school in Ogden. And as COVID hit, we realized we wouldn't be serving breakfast at the school. And so she just went and decided to clean out the kitchen and found some extra food and said, okay, what can we do with this? So she asked the school, where can we bring this? Was there somebody who could possibly use these items? And so that led me to a conversation with the Youth Centers of Calgary. And I called this lady I'd never met before and told her who I was and told her what we were doing. And I started to hear her burden for the city and for kids in particular who used to access food support through their school who wouldn't have it anymore. And I had been wrestling with those things too, but in the moment I just kind of went, oh yeah, like I feel that burden. We have this huge need. Let me see what I can do. And so I got off the phone and I just started realizing that God was reminding me that we have Harvest Culinary Ministries and there's probably not going to be many events happening. And I had a little bit of budget left over from our breakfast program. And so on Thursday, we had this initial conversation, and by Tuesday, we decided to try to do bag lunches to serve kids in Calgary. We had a lofty goal at the time of 200 lunches max per week, and we agreed to start with 20 lunches twice a week, and we would deliver, and we'd help, just the youth center would decide how they distributed. But we had no idea what was coming next.
So, modern day miracle, you know, how have you seen this ministry, this outreach grow and multiply? I mean, is it just bag lunches or who else is involved?
Yeah, so we started with the goal of 200 lunches in Ogden, and it grew to be in 6 locations, plus 3 Calgary housing sites where we would bring food support. So we started with the goal of 200 a week, and we were doing 475 lunches a day by the end of August. And I'm going to pull up some notes because there's a lot that has happened, and I don't want to forget some things. And one day we served 896 lunches. We started with one volunteer and wound up having over 275 volunteers from FAC, North Point, Rock Point, Ambrose, and the Youth Center, and I'm sure others too. We had a variety of different volunteer roles that came about. We started doing pizza days for kids on Fridays. We did pancake breakfast and grilled cheese days. Meals on Wheels began to donate over 1,500 grocery bags a week. Calgary Reads handed out over 16,000 books to kids this summer. The Calgary Sports Bank handed out sporting equipment to kids in every area that was a low-income area so they could play sports. Village Ice Cream donated ice cream. Sowing Seeds sewed over 300 masks for kids and families. Fresh produce was donated weekly by different farmers and organizations, and so many more. But you can see that it really became a wraparound of so many different organizations in Calgary who just wanted to be involved. We had a lot of other cool things, too, with just some volunteers who went above and beyond. They started buying freezies and bringing them each week so it would be a consumable ice pack for our lunches. We had a mom who made some connections and ended up donating her daughter's clothing to a mom who needed clothing. And we had, we just had so many different things that I could go on, but you get the idea that there's just people who just became so invested into the lives and the relationships that they were building.
Wow. It truly is amazing. And thank you for sharing just a little glimpse into kind of the scope of what was going on. So what was it like feeding, you know, this multitude of children? You know, what impacted you? Maybe something that you didn't expect.
Yeah, for starters, I didn't expect that we'd serve over 47,000 lunches. I didn't expect for us to grow so deep into the community and get to know so much about people's lives. It was humbling each day to kind of realize how much need is here in Calgary and not that far from this building. But at the same time, it brought so much joy and energy to just see the church be the church in our community. We got to be a part of bringing smiles to kids' faces who've been in isolation or to families who just don't know where to turn to for food support. So it was humbling and it was transformative, and it's bittersweet knowing that kids are going back to school, but we're just asking God to show us what's next and how to keep being a presence in these areas.
Yeah, amen. That's so good. So I would love for you to describe, you know, what's the difference between doing something out of your own effort or doing something with Jesus?
Yeah, I think I was confronted with this multiple times throughout March to now. For starters, when we started doing this, it was still snowing. So standing outside serving food to people in the snow, if you're doing it in your own strength, you probably wouldn't have lasted too long. For myself as well, I have a lot of health problems. I have an autoimmune disease, and there was days where I just kind of questioned if this was the right move for me, and I would get fearful and a bit anxious, but God silenced those fears and reminded me of who's in control. One big example as well is that in the beginning, we didn't really have a budget for this. I mean, COVID caught us all by surprise, and we started with this small goal, and it just kept growing, and there was times where I just wanted to say, okay, we can't do any more because I don't know where the finance is coming from. I don't know how we're going to do the logistics of a new site. And there was a point where I was getting really anxious about the financial piece. And so I started asking friends, like, will you give some money? And you know, trying to see if there's ways that we could get some more financial support. And God just kind of nudged me to pick up some grant writing again. And I hadn't done that in quite some time and really wasn't confident that it would go anywhere. And I'd kind of forgotten that we applied for some grants. And one night, I was just desperate. And I looked at my husband, and I'm like, we need to pray that a grant comes through because we can't do this anymore. Like, I don't know how we can keep multiplying like this. in my own strength. And so the next day I was looking at a neighborhood, Radisson, where there's a lot of need, and I was broken because I didn't feel like we had more finances. And so I just kind of got in my car and cried out to God, why are you showing me all this need if we can't even do anything? Like, there's no way that we can keep adding. There's probably going to be over 75 more lunches a day if we do this. Just, I don't get it, God. What are you doing? And he, again, I felt a nudge to look at my phone, to check my email. And right at the top of my email box was, you've received a grant. And it just reminded me to stop worrying and to trust the God who called us to transform our city. Because if it's his calling and his ministry, it's going to, everything's going to be taken care of. And from that moment, I just trusted God with the finances, and more grants came in, and FAC supported the ministry. People would stop by a table and donate us as much as, you know, a toonie or $100 bill and just say, thank you for serving our city. And so God was in control the whole time.
Wow. Thank you. Like, thank you for leading the charge, so to speak, and also like listening. Cause I know often there's a lot going on in our world. So thank you for just being still before God and for listening and being on mission with Jesus. And I think it just really goes to show kind of the impact that we could have, you know, in our city and have had. So thank you so much for sharing with us. Is there any kind of closing thoughts, closing insights that you'd like to finish off with?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, what was in my hands was a food ministry. But for all of us, God's calling us to something, and it didn't just happen overnight. It's daily surrendering and asking God to take over our lives and use us for what he's calling us to. And daily, when you lay yourself down and say, let me serve others where you're calling me to, God will do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Brianna. And if you're joining us on chat, just say thank you. Just give a little thanks to Brianna for sharing with us today. It really, every time I hear this story, it just, I don't know, you just know that God is moving in our city and in our world. I know it's so easy to get our focus distracted of so many different things, but God is inviting us to some amazing things, some greater things, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And I know Brianna did not have this in mind. And it's so fun to see how God just really does the miraculous before our eyes when we are on mission with him. So what's in your hands? What's in your hands? You know, here at FAC, you know, we had, you know, a closed down breakfast store, some food, and we're thought, let's do some lunches. What's in your hand? I'd encourage you to talk with someone. Talk with us. I mean, we love to have conversations about how we can impact our city and our world all for Jesus. So if you need to talk with someone to unpack whatever it is, we'd love to have those conversations with you. Now, if you need to talk with someone, if you need prayer, maybe if you're unsure about what your next step is in your faith journey, we'd love for you to join us on Zoom. Now, right now, we have people that are ready and willing to pray for you. So we're going to post the Zoom information in the chat. You'll see the meeting ID, you'll see the password, you'll see the link. We'll have it on screen below so that you can join in and talk with someone. Again, we don't want you to do life alone. And if you'd like to pray with someone, you can send us a message on Facebook, on Instagram, send us an email here at the church. You can fill out the contact card. We'd love to get in contact with you to help you figure out what's in your hands and what next step is Jesus calling you to. Friends, thank you so much for joining us here at FAC. We hope you have a wonderful week, and may you just go forth and be the hands and feet, be the light to a world that desperately needs Jesus. Take care, and we'll see you next weekend.